numerous types of crops have been shown to respond very positively to very minute amounts of electrical stimulation in their growth, even in the 20th and 19th centuries. I know there were early experiments in England where they ran wires over the tops of the wheat and had very, very weak voltages, and they'd raise the wires as the wheat grew, and it would dramatically improve the performance. It just, for some reason, never got commercialized.
Well, we know the Egyptian pyramids made out of limestone. Does that conduct electricity?
Yeah, the interesting thing about those, the giant pyramids in Egypt, is that they're built out of those two types of limestone. And the coarse limestone in the core is really dolomite, which has a very heavy metal content to it. So it conducts electricity very well. It's 25%, and I believe it's manganese. And yet the tufa limestone that covers it, that is, granted, it was whiter and might have been chosen for decorative purposes, but that's the stuff that they went to so much trouble to fit so close together that even today you can't get a razor blade between. That has much lower metal content and, by comparison, is a much poorer conductor of electricity. So you've almost got the situation of an insulated wire there. You've got an internal core that conducts well. And it's sheathed, in something that acts like an insulator. Now, I believe the Egyptian pyramids worked in a different way than everything else we've talked about tonight, because obviously, you know, with those pointed tops and smooth sides, you couldn't be carrying your seed up to the top of one of those pyramids. I think the Egyptian pyramids were aimed for a somewhat different purpose. But I think the purpose was largely achieved because of the types of conductivity they were able to use in those limestone. See, because what you would be doing is taking the entire electric charge of the base of the pyramid and concentrating it at the peak of the pyramid without allowing any of it to leak out.
Well, some of the chambers, like the King's Chamber, maybe it was a depot for seed. You know, there were no. It was not intended for the hereafter.
If there was a way to get in and out, that's certainly a possibility. One thing though is that you can get, if you get a strong enough concentration when you have that concentration of what would be negative charge from the ground, from the limestone aquifers which did underlie the pyramids. And you get a strong enough connection of positive charge from the air, which you did get 50 days a year during the seasonal calm scene winds. And those then electrical potential field lines that are positive in the atmosphere, they've got to pinch down to that tiny space on the top of the pyramid. All the negative charge from the ground's got to pinch down. And there could be enough voltage difference between those positive and negative aspects to create brush discharge. And brush discharge is like what they sometimes would see on the rigging or the mass of sailing ships in the old days when there was a lot of electricity in the air. It's just air that's now electrified enough to actually glow. Well, one thing that does is it gives off nitrates. It takes the inert nitrogen that makes up such a large part of our atmosphere but is of no use whatever to plants, and it turns it into nitrate, which is the biggest single ingredient in fertilizer.